Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Giribadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Balaba Giribadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Thank you. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paribhajakacharya, Asta Tarasata Shishiman. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paribhajakacharya, Asta Tarasata Shishiman. His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shri Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhunichananda, Shri Advaiti Gadadhar, Shri Vas Adigor, Bhaktivinda Kijai, Radhe Sham, Sundar Kijai, Krishna Balaram Kijai, Gorni Tai Kijai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Kijai, Goprem Anandi, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Shri the Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desitarane. Reading today from third canto. We're on the chapter that's called The Description of the Kingdom of God. That's chapter 15. We're on text number 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadev, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as a fact that can never be taken away from us. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Okay, so text number 15. Yatra chadya pumam aste. Yatra chadya puman aste. Bhagavan shabda gochara. Bhagavan shabda gochara. Sattvam vistabhya virajam. Sattvam vistabhya virajam. Svanam nom ridayan vrishaha. Svanam nom ridayan vrishaha. Yatra chadya pumam aste. Bhagavan shabda gocharaha. Sattvam vistabhya virajam. Svanam nom ridayam vrishaha. Please chant. Bhagavan shabda gochara. Sattvam vistabhya virajam. Yamrisha Yatra Chatra Pumanaste Brahman Shabda Gochara Satvam Vishtabhya Virajam Svanam Yita Visha Yatra chadya puman aste Bhagavan shabda gochara Sattvam vishtabhya virajam Stanam no mridayan risha Yatra chadya puman aste Bhagavan shabda gochara Sattvam vistabhya virajam Svanam no mridayan risha Yatra chadya puman aste Bhagavan shabda gochara Sattvam vistabhya virajam Svanam no vridayam risha Yatra chadya puman aste Bhagavan shabda gochara Sattvam vistabhya virajam Svanam no mridayan risha yatra in the Vaikuntha planet cha and adya original puman person aste is there Bhagavan the supreme personality of Godhead shabda gocharaha understood through the Vedic literature. Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Vistabhya, accepting. Virajam, uncontaminated. Svanam, of his own associates. Naha, us. Mridayan, increasing happiness. Risha, the personification of religious principles. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person and who can be understood through the Vedic literatures. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. This is Lord Brahma speaking. He's starting to explain the situation in the universe. So here, one more time. In the Vaikuntha planets is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original person, who can be understood through the Vedic literature. He is full of the uncontaminated mode of goodness, with no place for passion or ignorance. He contributes religious progress for the devotees. Omaginati medandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I am indebted to Srila Prabhupada and beg for service life after life at his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So, this chapter is describing the demigods' perplexion. They're wondering, why is this darkness covering the whole universe? What's the story behind it? So they approach Lord Brahma for an explanation, and their complaint is that this darkness is impeding our service. We can't do our service because it's too dark out. We can't figure out what's going on. We've had that experience here. When the lights go out for days and days at a time, it gets a little difficult to manage things properly. But anyway, so Lord Brahma's, instead of just saying, oh, you know, it's the pregnancy of Diti, and that problem is there with them. He's saying, well, he's giving the backstory. So he's giving the backstory how the whole thing is evolving. So we're still in the backstory part. So he's talking about the Vaikuntha planets and this, and going to continue on with the descriptions of, obviously, of Vaikuntha and the kingdom of God. But he's just in the very beginning of that description. So here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. The kingdom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual sky cannot be understood by any process other than hearing from the description of the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada's points are always so salient and so strong and so logical too. How are we going to understand what the Vaikuntha planets are when it's totally beyond our experience? The spiritual world is totally beyond our experience. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead is totally beyond our experience. So how are we going to understand him? Even though he's the source of everything, he's pervading everything, but our eyes are focused on matter, and therefore we can't see the Lord behind everything. So Srila Prabhupada continues to explain, no one can go to see it, meaning the Vaikuntha planets. In this material world also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveyances can only understand about that place from authentic books. Srila Prabhupada immediately gives the counter argument. You know, perhaps when one is explaining Krishna consciousness to newcomers or, you know, casual people who are asking casual questions, they want to see, they want proof. If you can't show me God, if you can't show me where he lives or how he acts or whatever, then I don't believe it. But there's so many things that we even hear in our own experience. It's not unreasonable that we can't understand things that we haven't experienced. It happens all the time. And therefore, if there's something beyond our experience or something that's difficult for us to understand, then we need to compare it to things that we can understand. And that's what Lord Brahma is doing. He's comparing it to things that we can understand. He's comparing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's giving examples and examples of his abode to things that we can understand. And therefore stressing the importance of hearing from pure sound vibration. That's a really important point in this whole thing, that the Vedic sound vibration is not like material sound vibration. It's pure transcendental sound vibration, and therefore it has a purifying effect on the heart. I'll come back to that point by Krishna's mercy after I continue reading a little bit of this. Okay. Similarly, so he just said that if you even in this material world, if you want to go to some place but you can't afford to go there, you can't pay for the conveyances to take the boat or the plane or the this or the that to go there, then the only way that you can understand it is by hearing. So here. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. The modern scientists who are trying to travel in space are having difficulty going even to the nearest planet, the moon, to say nothing of the highest planets within the universe. There is no possibility that they can go beyond the material sky, enter the spiritual sky, and see for themselves the spiritual planets, Vaikuntha. Therefore, the kingdom of God in the spiritual sky can be understood only through the authentic descriptions of the Vedas and the Puranas. So, even though this realm, Vaikuntha realm, the kingdom of God, is impossible for us to understand in our present condition with our present material senses, it's not impossible, it's not blocked from our understanding, because there is that transcendental description through the authorized personalities, that transcendental description of that supremely pure place. And point being that the description in itself, the verses in itself that describe the transcendental kingdom of the Lord, give us those very verses, that very sound vibration, that very Vedic sound vibration, the pure sound vibration, gives us the capability of understanding it by purifying the heart and the mind. In the material world, there are three modes of material qualities: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But in the spiritual world, there is no trace of the modes of passion and ignorance. There is only the mode of goodness, which is uncontaminated, sudasattva, uncontaminated by any tinge of ignorance or passion. So in Krishna's dialogue with Arjuna, he's explaining so many things in the Bhagavad Gita, and he's explaining the influence of the modes of material nature, and he says so many verses there. One of them that he says that the three modes of material nature are always in competition for supremacy. They're always existing within everyone, and they're fighting for supremacy. Sometimes the mode of goodness is prominent, sometimes passion or ignorance, but it's never constant. It's never steady. There's always mixing of the modes. And predominantly in this age, the mode is, the lower modes are mixed and very prominent, ignorance and passion. In the material world, even if a person is completely in goodness, he is sometimes subject to be polluted by tinges of the mode of ignorance and passion. But in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual sky, only the mode of goodness in its pure form exists. The Lord and his devotees reside in the Vaikuntha planets, and they are the same transcendental quality, namely sudasattva, the mode of pure goodness. The Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas, and for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas towards the kingdom of God, the Lord himself helps his devotees. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this revelation of the spiritual sky and the position of the Supreme Lord and et cetera, was the basis of Srila Vyasadeva's beginning recitation of the Bhagavatam. So Srila Vyasadeva, in the, is it described in the seventh chapter, first canto, Srila Vyasadeva's process of his process of meditation, so that this information was revealed to him. It's in the seventh chapter, first canto, starting with the fourth verse. So 4 to 7, yeah, there's four verses there that describes how Srila Vyasadeva connected with that transcendental place and the transcendental sound vibration. So verse 4 is Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Prani Hite Male Apasyat Purusham Pumam Mayatat Chatat Aparshrayam. Thus he fixed his mind, this is Vyasadeva, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism, without any tinge of the influence of the modes of nature. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. So that he could see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his meditation because his mind was totally free from the influence of the modes of material nature, and he fixed it on that Supreme Lord, he could understand the Lord's position. And thus, even in the very words itself that he uses in his verses to describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different pastimes, they're so important. That sound vibration is so important, because that is what giving us the ability to even understand it. Come back again. This is the fifth verse. Yasya samohita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam parohi manyate nartam tatkritam cha bipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. So due to our misidentification with this temporary material world and this temporary body and thinking this is who I am, although and obviously for myself in 20 years it's not going to be who I am, maybe not even in 5 years it's not going to be who I am, maybe not even in one more minute it's not going to be who I am. But anyway, the body's always changing, and ultimately comes the change of gross body to another body based on activities that we performed, accumulated reactions to, then there's another body that's produced from our activities. But Vyasadeva, in his meditation, he could see the Supreme Lord very clearly, and he could also see the external energy, the potency that bewilders the living entity, that makes us think we're this body. That's the external energy of the Lord. And that keeps us, when one is under the influence of the external energy, that keeps us from understanding that we don't belong in this part of the energy. We belong in the internal energy. We belong, you know, connected to the Supreme Lord through service. And further in his meditation, he could see that because of the identification with the body, because of that identification with the bodies, we suffer so many miseries in life, and that keeps us, again, in a separate mentality, separate from the Lord, and therefore all of those miseries affect us so drastically, so fully, that we identify with the situation and the miseries, although we're completely separate from them. So in text number 6, he says, anarto pasamam sakshat bhakti yogam adhoksaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvatam samitam. So the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated, directly stopped by the linking process of devotional service. But unfortunately, the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Absolute Truth. So by compiling the Vedic literature and hearing that pure sound vibration, then we can reunite or reawaken our original identity as spiritual by nature, leaving the misconception that we have that we're this body and the body belongs to me and these things belong to me, and therefore when they start to when they get taken away from me, I'm sad. When something happens happy to me, and then I'm ecstatic, but it's always changing. So all that that temporary identification with matter and the interaction of matter is totally superfluous, totally we don't have anything to do with it. But until we hear that vibration, the pure sound vibration, reminding us of the kingdom of the of God and of the Lord's position, can we again align ourselves with that mentality, the proper mentality? And then in the seventh verse, Yasyam vaisu yamananam krishne parama purushe bhakti upadyate pumsam shoka moha vayapaha. Simply by giving, and this is what we're doing now, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So this is the value of hearing transcendental sound vibration, because it will link us to our proper position as servants of the Lord. So now in this last sentence of the purport, Prabhupada says, the Vaikuntha planets are very dear to the Vaishnavas. And for the progressive march of the Vaishnavas toward the kingdom of God, the Lord himself helps his devotees. So, back to our Bhagavad Gita study, in that third chapter, or in that section, the first six chapters, when the Lord is describing the different processes of linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the different processes of yoga. There's karma yoga, there's astanga yoga, dhyana yoga, so many types of yoga. And very difficult, when he gives the description to Arjuna how the astanga yogi has to go to a secluded place and sit in a seat that's not too high or too low, and et cetera, and meditate and stare at the tip of his nose with unwavering determination and faith. And Arjuna says, no way. It's too hard. It's too hard. More difficult. Controlling the mind in that manner is more difficult than controlling the wind. So Arjuna wasn't a particularly unqualified, wimpy person either. Obviously, because of his great prowess and practice in the art of martial arts, etc., he had gained great powers and potencies. He had a weapon that can control the wind. He had a wind weapon. And yet he's saying the mind is more difficult to control the wind. He had a weapon that could, blow things around or whatever. He had a weapon that could produce rain and water. And yet he's saying that doing this type of yoga in this way is more difficult than anything that I've ever experienced. But here in this last sentence, Krishna says that he helps his devotees come to him. So that's the difference between the processes of, let's say, these other types of yogas, astanga yoga, karma yoga, dhyana yoga, etc. One gets particular credit from doing those things by the endeavor that they put into their personal endeavor. By your personal endeavor that you put into the process of karma yoga and doing this sacrifice, etc., then you'll get proportionate results. But the process of bhakti is different. The process of bhakti is not only dependent on our endeavor that we make. Yes, it's necessary, obviously, that we need to make our endeavor, but it's not just dependent. It's not, the results that we get from bhakti are not proportionate, equally proportionate to the results that we put in. Because why? The Lord helps his devotees. The Lord is there to encourage us, to help us, and to propel us forward by whatever small endeavor that we make. What to speak of the constant endeavor or the serious endeavor. Krishna's there and he reciprocates. And that's the difference. By the process of bhakti, one can capture the Supreme Lord. Not by the other process of... By the other process of yoga, one can make progress in this and that and come to different levels of purification. But by the process of bhakti, the Lord is there pulling us, encouraging us, pulling us, arranging our life in such a way to bring us to this transcendental, the highest level of transcendental realization. So in the previous verses, the demigods were glorifying Lord Brahma and his position. And again, approaching Lord Brahma, it was the process of the recommended process for them when they have different difficulties in life or whatever they are difficulties in the planets or in their ruling jurisdiction. They approach Lord Brahma for guidance on what to do. So that's what they're doing here. They're approaching Lord Brahma as the supreme personality in represented in this world to clear up the doubts and clear up their difficulties in performing their service. So Lord Brahma starts from the very beginning of the story, or he's about to, in the next verses that will follow from here, he'll start from the very beginning of the story of how it happened that the situation is such that they that the darkness is completely enveloping the world and no one can figure out what's going on or what to do or how to do that. So, and there was one thing that I was going to talk about. Okay. So, thank you, Krishna. In the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says, in this material world also, one who is unable to pay to go to a far distant place by motorized conveyances can only understand about that place from authentic books. Similarly, the Vaikuntha planets and the spiritual sky are beyond this material sky. And he's making that point about the difference between the material material realm and its limitations and the spiritual realm and its unlimited nature. So how, again, back to Srila Vyasadeva's meditation, this is his whole thing in presenting Srimad Bhagavatam. He's presenting Srimad Bhagavatam, and what he's presenting is something that's beyond our ability to understand. The absolute truth is beyond our ability to understand. Just like, but he's so expert, he's giving us a systematic presentation, step by step, to understand the different aspects of the absolute truth, so that ultimately, coming to the 10th canto, we can understand Krishna as the summum bonum, and as the supreme person, and understand a little of his pastimes. But through a process of explaining gradually the different aspects of the absolute truth, it's because one would think, well, second canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, first few verses explain the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10 categories of information that are there. Can you start the verse for me, Pran Govinda? 2:10:1, such process of creation. Atrasarga, thank you. Atrasarga visargas cha stanam poshanam utaya. So atrasarga, so he's explaining the creation and the secondary creation, the process of creation, by explaining the creation that of the Supreme Lord, and visarga, the secondary creation of Lord Brahma. So in other words, he's explaining it very systematically, gradually. He's not just, so when Maharaj Parikit asks Sukadeva Goswami, what is, what's the duty of a person to die? He doesn't just go and say, the duty of a person that's about to die, they should just remember the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. No, he starts in the very beginning, how explaining the some of the potencies, explaining the potencies of the Supreme Lord, explaining the process of creation of the of how Lord Brahma took those elements and created this material world, how it's developed, and how it's all pushed. It's all pushed by our desire. It's our desire that there's a material world. It's not that it's Krishna's desire that there's a material world. The living entities who were expressing a disinclination to serve the Supreme Lord, he being the all-merciful, all-loving, and neutral, he's not going to force us to love him. No, you have to stay here. You have to serve me like this. No, no. Oh, you don't want to do that? Okay. Well, I'll make this world where you can try to enjoy and see how, and you can pretend. You can shut your eyes to my presence, because in the material world, very few people see the presence of the Lord in everything, very few. And so you can shut your eyes to my presence, and don't worry, I won't be manifest before you. Naham prakasya sarvasya. I'm not manifested to the foolish and the unintelligent. They're deluded by the illusory energy. And even though I am pervading everything, and even though there's nothing but me everywhere, 99.9% of the people can't see him anywhere by that deluding potency. So the verse in the 10th chapter of the second canto explaining the different topics are also like a progression of information about the Supreme Lord. So the point being that Vyasadeva, through Sukadeva Goswami again, is presenting this information of the Vaikuntha planets in a very progressive way, so that we first understand where we are, we first understand the nature of the material world, and then comparing that to the spiritual world and the gradual explanation of the unlimited potencies of the Supreme Lord. So in that way, by seeing where we're at and hearing about the Supreme Lord and his potencies, we can, you know, make a choice, an intelligent choice, you know, where one wants to be situated, or an educated choice where one wants to be situated. Hare Krishna. I'm running out of steam. Any discussion or comments or questions or corrections at this point? Madhu Mati Devi Dasi. Must be a mystic potency that some people can ask questions in every class. Congratulations. Madhu Mati.
So you're explaining that the sound vibration is potent, and by the sound vibration it will purify and we can understand things. So my question to you is that, you know, in the Bhagavatam, there's like actually the whole Bhagavatam is like that, but at least through my mind, I think, okay, this is just impossible for me to understand. So just by reciting those verses again and again, you saying that we will understand, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's a gradual process. We're always wanting, especially in this, you know, modern age, we want instant results. You know, change the channel, do the this, scroll over here, do the that, you know. But it's a gradual process. But to understand our position as a pure spirit soul that has been covered and covered and covered by material conceptions since a time that we can't even calculate, we can't even conceive of how much time we've been in the material world, acting as a material body in a human form or animal form or whatever. Okay, animal forms don't get karma, but so many human lives we've taken and accrued karma, covering that brilliance of the spirit soul and the knowledge of the spirit soul, it will become cleansed by that process of hearing, chanting, and like Mukhi, that wonderful little example of just take prasadam, you don't understand anything, just eat, you know, you only think of your belly, just eat, and that gradual purification of prasadam will cleanse your heart and you'll get Krishna like that. So yes, it'll happen, and it has happened already. You can experience the difference of what your consciousness is today than what it was 30 years ago, or, you know, 40 years ago. Yeah, you can say 40 years for you, right? Yeah, you know what I mean? So it has happened, and it will continue to happen. And Maharaj Katvanga, he was the one that he got a moment, he found out, okay, thanks. Varshkadvanga, he was a demigod. Well, no, he was on the earth planet, but he was so powerful, he would help the demigods in their battle sometimes. So they fighting for a long time, blah, blah, blah. He conquered the demons at that time. And the demigods wanted to give him a benediction. And he said, okay, well, just tell me how long I have to live. They said, you only have one more moment to live. And in one moment, not that he was unprepared. He was prepared all life, practicing, you know, and focusing his mind that there's more to life than just this material body, so that he could take advantage of that one moment's time. I think it's Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the demigods, he was in the higher planetary system when this incident occurred, so the moment there was not just a moment here. So it was a longer period of time. So he took the time, he took the opportunity to come to the earth planet and use that moment, that heavenly planet time moment, to become self-realized and was out of here. So it is possible. Yes, dear. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I think my question is sort of related. But I was wondering, how is it so, or is it so, that we're getting the opportunity to practice all these practices to be able to see the personal form of the Lord. And yet it's like such a small percentage.
Yeah.
But there are all these other religions and, let's say, saints who are doing so much work and have so much surrender. And are they only able to see a less formal
form of the part. They're coming closer, they're seeing, they're making progress, but they're only seeing a part. And how is it that we have this opportunity, and this is my words, not your words, and being so unintelligent myself, you know what I mean? I don't have a big brain, you know, I haven't done a lot of anything to deserve this, and that's the point. It's causeless mercy. It's a causeless mercy. Now, there are people that come to Krishna consciousness. Okay. There, you know, we've made, people have made progress. Just like why we do Harinam, why we do prasadam distribution, why we do anything. People hear a little bit and they get a little reaction. They get a little purification for that. Now, that might not be in the total mix of their karmic journey through life, it might not be enough, just that one little bit of prasadam thrown from Lord Jagannath's cart to turn them to come to the temple and surrender to Krishna. But that, along with prasadam, along with hearing the Harinam, along with getting a book, you know, gradually it will come to bhakti unmuti shukriti. You know, there's devotional service that one does unknowingly, but devotional service that one does that brings one to bhakti, that gradually accumulates and will fructify at a certain point, and one might get the chance to be born in the family of devotees. That's a great, you know, that didn't happen just yesterday, you know, or one or two lives ago. It's an accumulation of endeavors. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and these are the encouraging things. I need to focus on the encouraging things, because the where we're at and where we want to go, you know, purity, pure love of Krishna, there's a huge distance. But Krishna says that whatever one does in the process of devotional service, the result is never lost. Even that verse that we recited in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, that just by hearing the Bhagavatam, there's an indelible reaction for that cannot be lost. So let's say, and it happens, we see it all the time, people come, they hear for some time, and they apparently drift away. But they won't drift away forever. Eventually they'll come back again and start further and further and further and become more serious and have more, a more solid philosophical basis to stick around through the whole thing. So some
some people come through that gradual process, but ultimately it's just what Prabhupada says here. The Lord himself helps his devotees. So somebody who's begun the process, however innocently or unknowingly gotten some prasadam or made some endeavor to come to the temple, whatever it is, that result is there, never to be taken away, no matter how long it takes them to come back and visit again. It's never, and they continue on. So it's a process yeah, that Krishna helps us with.
I could see with my grandma how she was already religious. She was, yes, like she wanted to be a Catholic nun, and then that helped her just take it so seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, thank you. Ragatmika, Prabhu.
So you were saying that Krishna didn't want to create this material world. It's because of our pushing and our disinclination, I think you said. It made me think of that little, Prabhupada says, causeless unwillingness.
Causeless unwillingness.
Can you illuminate on that two words?
Causeless unwillingness?
Yeah. What's this causeless and... I know the unwillingness.
It has to do a little bit with your question that you asked Ramapad Maharaj the other day, Ananda Vrindavanji. Well, I think it was Ramapad Maharaj. Anyway, a question that you asked the other day about why did we leave Vaikuntha if it was so nice? And he, whoever it was it Ramapad Maharaj? Oh, yeah, right. And he kind of avoided the question. He didn't want to deal with the question. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for that reminder. Okay, so... Why do we have causeless unwillingness to serve? Because we're small, we're little, we have the qualities of the Supreme Lord, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, Satchit Ananda. We have those qualities in minute, you know, we're just one 1/10,000th the tip of the size of a hair, which isn't even our real size. They just give it that calculation so that you can understand we're really small, right? So the really small living entity who has some aspect of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, and Krishna has full knowledge, full bliss, unlimited, happiness, there is no comparison. There is no comparison to our poor fund of knowledge and Krishna's unlimited fund of all knowledge that never forgets anything in any circumstance or any incarnation or any... Just think of it for a little bit. Krishna knows the journey that every living entity has gone in to get to where they are to this point. You know, he knows it. He doesn't forget. We can't... Some people, like myself, can't even remember, what I did yesterday, or people's names that I just asked them 3 minutes ago what your name is, and then I forgot by the end of the conversation. Krishna never forgets, unless it's a plan of his internal potency to have him forget something, whatever. But still, he's never forgetting. So our causeless unwillingness to serve comes from the fact that we're small and we make mistakes. And somehow or other, even though Krishna's giving everything, air, water, fire, earth, everything, he's giving situations, he's providing everything, and we're still thinking, that's not enough. I want to do it myself, or whatever, however. Yeah, and it's explained that the living entity, when they first leave the transcendental realm, the first position that they take is of a position of Lord Brahma, a highly elevated position. But, so you'd think that you're not very far, this is a material calculation, you're not very far from the Supreme Lord because you're in an elevated position like Lord Brahma. But instead of taking that position and realizing, this is keeping me away from my real unlimited service to the Supreme Lord, unlimited bliss, we get more entangled in the reactions and reactions of fruitive activities and go further down, as opposed to just coming, skipping out of Vaikuntha for a little bit and going right back. No, we get entangled for a long time.
Well, that was the point that was on my mind, is you allegedly fall from the spiritual world, I'll keep it all theoretical here, and you go to like some realm that is beyond heavenly realms, mm-hmm. you know, because we hear like Indra's realm is heaven. This stuff is like layers and layers even beyond that when you initially come. So it's not like you leave the spiritual world and come to Gainesville immediately, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Though maybe some people do, Prabhupada, who knows, you know, just to help others. So, there's that. And also, you know, Krishna's just fulfilling everybody's desires since time immemorial.
Yeah.
You know, so these other traditions, whatever, you know, he's working through it with them and giving them, you know, as much as they can handle. And the thought that comes to me is this one quote from that early video, Happiness in Second Avenue, I think it was, and Kirtan Ananda was there. It's better to be low on a high platform than high on a low platform, kind of. I don't know. I heard he said that. So we have access to all this stuff, but I would take it for granted. Like you know, we have access to it, and it's mercy. You know, one sense, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and these other traditions. I mean, I think of Saint Francis. I wouldn't just write them off that somehow they're not having access, though.
No, correct.
We have a very special place here with Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada explains in that somewhere in the Gita, in those first six chapters, when he's talking about that yoga ladder. If you're going to go up to a building that has 100 floors, you can take the stairs. But if you're going up to the stairs and you stop at the third floor and you think that you've reached your goal, you never really get what you're destined to get. So these other processes are like that, similar. They've made some progress. There's some God consciousness there, and their information is a little bit limited. Yes.
I was thinking that, we don't know, maybe people who have really reached on a very high level in the other processes may have Krishna may have brought them into Krishna consciousness, and you might see that devotees from the other path on a very high platform, probably they have come here and they're, you see devotees who join and they're like already way high up, you know,
Burijan Prabhu gives an example. When he joined the temple, I think it was in Buffalo. In Buffalo, there was a lot of devotees that joined it at a certain point. And I think it was, anyway, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Jagadish or somebody. But anyway, whoever this person was that he was citing, he said, when he came to the temple and he put his tilak on for the first time, it was very straight and very beautiful and very, you know, perfect shaped tilak. He said, but when I put my tilak on, it looked like I put it on with my foot. It was, you know, and the example he was giving is that person must have already done it in the past and now was again, you know, in contact with it and was putting it on perfectly because they had done it so many times before. So we see that happen all the time too. I remember one time in Mayapur, I was at the Prabhupada Samadhi in the middle of the day type of thing, and this little village family came in, and the father and the mother and the little, you know, maybe like a two-year-old or probably maybe 3 or 4-year-old kid comes in, and the father and the mother are looking around, and the child just immediately comes in and pays full-out flat dandavats with his hands outstretched at Srila Prabhupada's feet. And even the father and the mother are looking at each other. Where did that come from? You know what I mean? Obviously, there's something there. And also, too, that concept of other religious processes, that's our bodily concept of life, us and them. Sometimes it can be tinged with that, us and them. But it's not the us and them. We're all in this together. And some people are on different levels of the staircase, you know. But and some people are going the wrong way. But anyway, whatever. But they're there. All parts and parcels of Krishna. So let's continue that process of attempting. Just keep trying. Just keep trying to stay in touch with the spiritual sound vibration. And then the kingdom of God, which will be our rightful claim, will become manifest to us. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Hare.